Our dad, Dr. Joshua Todd, is bringing a brand new season of
Statured Sons
and Daring Daughters. In this podcast, you're going to hear a kingdom perspective on what God is doing in our generation and in everyday life. Stories of great victories, testimonies, hopeful heroes, and so much more. Thanks for tuning in. We know you'll be blessed to hear this.
Bye.
Probably best friend in the whole world, William Gatiss, who's the first statured son that I've had the opportunity to interview. William, welcome.
Thank you, Joshua.
Man, what a great time we had.
Yeah, this weekend. Yeah, I know.
It was amazing.
It was power packed. You know, it was filled and power packed.
It was.
You know, a lot of times when you go to do something for the kingdom, you have an expectation or you have a mindset that it's supposed to go this way, but it far surpassed what I thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah, and just to catch the listeners up, you know, we have listeners in Germany and Japan, all over the U.S. now. You know, you were able to come down to Jacksonville to the Kingdom Center here, our Kingdom Experiment, and minister this weekend powerfully. And I think it was your first time ministering ever, right?
It was, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I did it, man. It can be an interesting experience, but wow, what a great release it was to the entire house. And so thanks for doing that.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, this is William Gatiss. William is a powerful prophet, a man of God, carries true authenticity and a real sincerity of heart. I think of that proverb where it says, you know, you carry a contrite or a spirit that is all encompassed. In other words, you really are aware of what your heart condition is, and I really love that about you. How quick you are to repent, how quick you are to, you know, move the glory back to who it belongs to. And I thought that was really evident in your ministry yesterday. So I don't want to talk all of the time about ministry yesterday, but to thank you, that was really powerful. I know that everyone really received it deeply. How was it for you? I mean, first time. I mean, that's wild.
Getting up in front of a group of people. No. Freedom House will always be my home. No matter that I live in Indiana and I'm down here in Jacksonville, Florida, Freedom House will always be my home. But, you know, still getting up and ministering for the first time, it was nerve-wracking. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do believe what the Bible says is that He strengthens you, and, you know, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So I relied heavily upon the Holy Spirit to guide me. You know, I had, I think, 6 pages of notes that I was going to preach on, but I allowed room for the Holy Spirit to take control, because when we as man allow ourselves to take over, I think that squelches the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And then He cannot move how He wants to move, because we're always trying to control Him.
Yeah. You know, you said something yesterday I thought was so critical. You could almost take that statement and bring it into like a ministry school setting. And you said, you know, most of the times that we saw Jesus in this earthly ministry move, He did so based on His compassion.
Yeah.
And it was like He became gripped by Father's heart for this situation and just started to be like overwhelmed with His passion for that person. Like, you're in front of me. This is my assignment to be here in this moment, and I'm going to pour out everything in Father's heart on you. And I noticed during your ministry time yesterday that you kind of became gripped in several instances as I kind of walked around and watched you. What was that experience like for you as a prophet? Like, what was it getting captured by? And I know that happens to you more than just yesterday. I mean, I know that's how you live.
Yeah.
So what's that like for you?
It's becoming more and more of a normalcy is the best way I could put it in my life, because I allow that room to where I pull myself out of it and I allow the Holy Spirit to guide me. Words of knowledge came very quickly, which I was very surprised by.
Yeah, they did.
And when I were praying when I was praying for people, I mean, you know, things were being said, you know, to not only encourage them, which is what a prophetic word is supposed to do, but it also reestablishes Christ in their life. Mm-hmm. You know, as I read through the Bible, and I believe it's in 1 Jeremiah, a prophet is supposed to tear down and destroy, but then also rebuild. So to me, what that means is that you're to tear down the works of hell, mm-hmm. and the gates that have been set before them, and then rebuild them for the kingdom. So that basically reestablishes their foundation back in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do draw a pretty strong distinction, especially in, you know, in the Kingdom Center, that, you know, if someone comes in and functions in the office, then you're going to notice that Jeremiah type function in them at some level. Like, we do Jeremiah, you know, to nations. That's the first time I ever, you know, traveled as a prophet, was as a Jeremiah in that sense. But I've also felt, you know, there were times, William, where you really did release some correction. And I don't mean correction in the way that it was heavy-handed. I think you called it a velvet hammer.
Yeah.
And which I've never heard that term before. That was great. But you know, you brought correction, but it wasn't like, you know, I'm here and I want to correct you. It was very loving and very, and you may miss, you know, that it was even correction, but slight adjustments were called into those moments. It was like, okay, I have to adjust here because the Lord is saying, you know, this, I have to make an internal adjustment.
Right.
And so that was really good. I mean, I thought that was dynamite.
I did not plan it that way. Praise be to God that it came out that way. The velvet hammer was a saying I adopted back in my time in corporate America, where you were able to effectively, where you were working with, let's say, a dealer, and they weren't adapting to what you were asking them to do.
Let's make sure we know what kind of dealer we're talking about. We're talking about a car dealer, not a dealer. Drug dealer.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I was working with corporate America for 17 years with car dealers. So I have an extensive automotive background. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Love it. And the velvet hammer is something you learned to use.
The velvet hammer was something that we used quite a bit. So
that's awesome. I thought that was really well, well communicated. And so, that being the case, you know, I like to say, like when I'm fathering, for example, I like to correct sons and daughters in a way where they have to, and I learned this from Dr. Don because he's the world's best at this. You know, you correct them in a way where it's, they're like, did I just get like promoted or corrected? Like, I'm not sure like what happened there. And it's like Holy Spirit has to almost, it almost requires him to be more involved. And I love that about yesterday, like, you were so reliant upon Holy Spirit. Like, I just want to encourage you, brother, to never let that go. No matter what doors open for you, no matter what God does. You know, I just really feel like that's one of the things that, and I noticed the shift, and it was really strategic the way the shift of the Spirit came and how the Lord drew you into those individual moments. And I love that about Jesus. You know, he was like, he came face to face with somebody. He knew it was part of Father's assignment for him. Mm-hmm. He ignored some, but man, he was drawn to others. And immediately it was like, whatever your ailment is, whatever your problem is, whatever Father wants fixed in your life to restore, I know that me and you have come face to face for this moment in history.
Exactly.
And I mean, it happens every time. He never suffers from, you know, praying for someone that didn't get healed, you know, which is something else you kind of shared with us yesterday about how to walk through that. And that was so important. I really enjoyed it. Listen, when we get back, we're going to get more with William and talk more about the ways that God is speaking to him about the kingdom. I want to talk a little bit about his transition out of corporate America. I think that'll help some listeners. I think that story will really help. And we're going to really get into it, in the thick of it, here when we come back with me, your host, Dr. Joshua Todd. Friends, are you looking for one of the most strategic ways to increase and grow in your kingdom leadership? Well, I want to tell you about an exciting school, an international influence that right now is expanding, and I have the honor of serving as the vice president of. That is Kingdom Leadership Institute. Now, Kingdom Leadership Institute is different than most ministry schools. What do I mean by that? Well, I can tell you, as the Lord has called me to move around this earth, I have seen that one of the greatest needs we have in the kingdom of God is strong
kingdom leadership. This is the kind of leadership that Jesus exhibited and still exhibits, the kind that his body needs. And I have found that Kingdom Leadership Institute for me became the culmination of a lot of the work and training and excellent fathering that I was involved in. And it is such a great opportunity. One of the great things about it, is that when you apply to become a student of Kingdom Leadership Institute, you literally provide the school with all of the experience you have in the kingdom to be part and matriculated as part of your diploma pathway, your diploma degree at the bachelor, master, or doctorate level. Now, this is becoming quite the influence, quite the force to be reckoned with. We've made it available to you to watch modules online, as well as have the opportunity to participate in some regional impartation and activation. And you're going to be able to come into a setting where the Lord will begin to use this to really sharpen the sword in you. And I can tell you from my own experience, being in seminary traditionally, being in other ministry schools, Kingdom Leadership Institute releases something into your life that if you're hungry for it, you will be filled with it. And it is powerful. So go ahead right now, take a look at www.klitraining. That's klitraining.com. You can sign up for a free training module to see what the classes are like. You can learn about fathering, about sonship, about the apostolic, about ecclesia, about the prophetic. You can learn more about kingdom leadership there. No matter where you are in the world, we're making it available for you. We're getting ready to launch new languages, new locations and satellites, and maybe even I'll have the opportunity to meet you face-to-face sometime at a KLI training event near you. Hope you're blessed today. Join us today, KLI Training, Kingdom Leadership Institute. It's leadership that will change your life.
And William, I know something that, you know, I know you're aware of. My current transition that I'm in,
yeah,
is a pretty harrowing experience for me. You know, it's drawing out a lot of places within me that I don't know the light would reach if I didn't have this transition period in my life. Now, in my Seasons of Sonship books, in my third book, Interdependence, which is, you know, in edit mode now, it's been in edit mode for like 2 months now. One of the things I talk about is what I call the interchange. And the interchange is, you know, if you think of how they build them in highways, the goal for the interchange is I can go from going west to moving north without really losing tremendous amounts of momentum. So the speed limit, so they build the curves so that the cars can keep on moving and it doesn't create a traffic jam.
Yeah.
So I'm in that transition myself. I'm thinking this particular transition is between January and March of next year. And I was with you as you transitioned out of your corporate America job into Gate and Sons. And I just think it would be really beneficial to talk about how that was for you. I think a lot of people can use, you know, kind of your take on that experience, how it blessed you, and kind of walk us through it, if you don't mind, of what that was like for you.
Sure. So just a little background. I worked with BMW North America for 15 years in different field roles, from management to technical. Then I moved over to Volkswagen Group for the remainder of my 2 years in corporate America with Lamborghini, which I think everybody knows the brand very well.
I don't know it as well as I'd like to, Will, but I know it.
Yeah, I didn't get to drive. I got to drive one during my 2 years. So
can you tell us which one it was?
It was a Huracan Spider, so it's a convertible.
Nice.
And it was just a little piddly test drive. It wasn't anything like on the highway.
Super fancy.
Yeah, no. But my transition into opening my own shop was one of a lot of angst. It was a lot of frustration because of the continued pressure from corporate America. But also, I really felt God calling me to start my own business, which I was fortunate to learn how to run a business through those 15 years with BMW. So through the turmoil and all the heartache and missing my family and the massive amount of travel that ensued, I believe God gave me a skill set through mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
You know, and I honored my employer, even when there were times where they were asking me to do dishonest things, I wouldn't do them. And yes, I suffered repercussions from it.
Yeah, sure you did.
And that was okay because I wasn't willing to give up, you know, who I was in the kingdom for a dollar.
Right. Yeah. Wow, it's so important. Let's just say that. I mean, you were not willing to give up who you are, for the sake of a dollar.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, I wasn't willing to give up those things that were so important and dear to me that Christ instilled into me, you know, even from the foundations of the world, for a dollar. I'm not, you know, I wasn't willing to give up on those things because they weren't that important, but people were. I came in contact with a lot of people and a lot of different people from different walks of life, from different areas, from different situations and different problems. And I really grew to love people because before that, I was kind of more, I'm an extrovert by nature, but I was really quiet. But through these 17 years, I've learned to I don't want to say the gift of gab, but I know how to carry on a conversation pretty well.
So, right. Yeah.
And I do love people. You know, there isn't a day that doesn't go by that I may not interact with someone and I wonder, you know, what are they facing today? So.
Yeah. So good, man. I know that you said 17 years. I think immediately about Paul and his journey from, you know, being knocked off his friend's horse to being yelled at to the moment where he comes into his apostolic, you know, function.
Yeah.
Was like 17 years. And I think about that with you and how that process really did. You know, so much of you dies in that.
Yeah.
And I mean, in a good way.
Like, yeah.
It really kills so much. Ambition for things. It kills, you know, any love of money. It kills, you know, all the things that choke out in the heart, the things that the Lord really wants to do through someone as a vessel. And I think that experience for you was so important, but man, I remember the you know, like you said, the angst, the diminishing of the grace flow that was started, and the, you know, the, how's this going to be? I've never been in this position before. I mean, you're in your early 40s. You've never been in this position. You know, you couldn't necessarily, I think you did some good, really good things to prepare for it. But like, you couldn't, I mean, not everything was perfectly ready for the transition. You just walked it out in faith, you know, with your wife and your kids. And you moved into a place where I didn't really see a whole lot of, again, talking about that interchange. Like, I didn't see a whole lot of decrease in momentum from one to the other. I mean,
no.
It was like from day one, God was faithful. You didn't lack. You were, the shop is busy, super busy.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a beautiful for me to watch because I'm like, man, I'm going through a very similar thing, maybe a little different context, but very similar. And so, you know, to see you come through that with speed and not go through a lot of unnecessary hardships, I think that speaks back to like your softness towards the Spirit of the Lord, like how you embrace Him and allow Him to lead you. I think it's very important.
I mean, I want the listeners to know, you know, whatever circumstances you're in right now in regards to how you're employed or even if you're not employed, put your trust back into Him, because I think we as humans will always want to hold on to the wheel when we're not supposed to.
Yeah, so true.
You know, and that's where, you know, fully I had to let go of the wheel because I transitioned from, you know, a pretty lucrative career, insurance, company car. No, it wasn't a Lamborghini. you know, to running my own business, using almost all my savings to start the shop because it is, you know, I have to buy and purchase all the equipment, insurance, you know, all those things that come into play. To understand, you know, that this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Wow.
You know, but it's not my life's work in the kingdom. It's just a way to support my family and ensure that, you know, they have the needs that they need met financially.
And I just heard the Lord say, William, when we come back, I want us to minister and discuss together this, what you said about shifting your source. I want to give people an opportunity to change over this podcast, to repent, renounce, and move back to Him as their source. Because I believe that's so important right now with all the vaccination stuff going on, employers acting nuts.
Yeah.
People are looking to, what do I do? How do I make decisions? And I really feel like what it comes down to essentially is that change. So when we come back, we're going to talk about shifting your source here on Statured Sons. And I'm with one, William Gatiss. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be something you want to listen to. So come back and join us here shortly. So far,
yeah.
You know, I just really was, as we were talking that last segment, I heard immediately Holy Spirit say, you know, talk about shifting source, moving back to giving people a chance to repent in their own hearts,
yeah,
and setting Him as the source.
Absolutely.
So important, man.
It is.
And I really feel like that is always tested in transition. And actually, I have another podcast called War, Wisdom and Revelation, and I'm going to release the one about that's tied to this topic. But tell me, what do you feel about the importance of the source moving away from whatever it's become and back to, you know, Jesus and Jehovah Jireh as the source of your life?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because I think you can tie it almost to revival. And if you go back, and a lot of people and myself, started to study revival. And my question has always been centered around, why did revival stop?
Mm-hmm.
God never wants to stop revival.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it, it's man. Man, yeah, wants to control it. Man wants to use it for purposes unintended for what God used it for or brought it for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where we need to come back to a repentive heart. I think as a nation, this nation that I'm in, they've lost their repentive heart in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And God is starting to lift His hand on things, but then you have a remnant that are in the land that are focused intercessors that are bringing, you know, that attention in prayer back to God. And then the Lord is bringing His hand back down, or His blessing upon it, because there is a repentance
mm-hmm.
there for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so necessary that, you know, as a Christian in your walk, it says to be holy. You know, will you ever make it to the stature of Jesus? No, because there is only one Jesus. Mm-hmm. But He left us repentance so that we can turn. Repentance means turn from it and go the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, a lot of the times we may get wrapped up in selfishness, or we may get wrapped up in certain things and get blinded by the enemy of this world to where we forget to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Holy Spirit grabs your heart and says, son or daughter, stop. And here's what you're doing. And He gives you that chance of repentance, because that's what He left for us here,
mm-hmm.
through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And I know we talk about that, and I'll use this as a, you know, opportunity for the listener to really repent in their own heart, in their car, on their phone, wherever they're listening. If there's an area of their life where, you know, I call them comfort zones,
yeah,
or, you know, think about how easily it is for us to cope. Rather than be comforted by Holy Spirit, we can become people who learn coping mechanisms.
Right.
But so that being true, you know, you just came through level one, first time, Freedom Ministry International.
Powerful.
One of the sessions that we do is called The Discipline of Repentance. I was there with you ministering in South Carolina with our buddy Sean Harvey, who I'll have on Statured Sons at some point. You know, we talk about the discipline of repentance, and we talk about the threshing floor. We talk about, you know, the chaff being broken off.
Right.
And we, you know, one of the things, again, going back to Dr. Don, who is both of our spiritual fathers, says, you know, repentance is his best friend, because it's a strategy of keeping in alignment with what God wants and how we can submit to it. And so I say repentance, you know, metanoia in the Greek, is always the second step, because revelation is the first step. Like, you have to understand by revelation that there's a need to repent. And then you have to say, you know what? I have revelation. Or, like, I was wrong. My heart was wrong. Or I'm going the wrong direction. Or I need to make a change. I need to change to be changed. And so I embrace that revelation. I respond to it in repentance. And then I believe at that point, whatever's been held back can be released in that moment.
Correct.
And so I agree with you. I think there's a need to repent. I think there's a need to embrace revelation. And I feel like the entire body of Christ, the ecclesia, even is realizing that there are some things that we should have gotten right 20 years ago that would have left us in a much better position today.
Yeah.
And it's time to repent and say, hey, I'm adopting that. Like, as you said, I'm not going to let the deceitfulness of riches change who I am when he died for me from the foundations of the world.
Right.
And I'm not going to let it change that. So good, man. So the process of, for those of you who are ready to do that, just, you know, repent even right now. You know, as I like to say, put your hand on your belly and repent and ask the Lord. First, confess your fault before him. Confess your sin before him. Then embrace the reality that maybe you have made a source out of your company, you know, your corporate job. Maybe that's become the place where your comfort is. I know for me, there was a period of time like comfort became my biggest enemy. And doesn't it always do that? I mean, you know, I'm thinking about you. You're about to run your first triathlon next weekend.
Oh.
I'm thinking about, you know, how uncomfortable it is to swim and to bike and to run in that order. I think
yeah, that's I nailed crazy. It. Yes.
You know, 17 miles on a bike or whatever it is, crazy, or half a mile swim, and how there are times where you can choose comfort rather than being prepared for that moment.
Yeah.
And you know, you'll go to the day of the race if you choose comfort, and you won't be ready for it. And you'll have to fight with regret over your lack of preparation. And how the Lord is primarily, I think, preparing us as an ecclesia now to make sure he showed us in the last season where areas where we lacked. And now he's giving us the chance to repent, make him our source in all these areas, trust in him, and then experience the power and the fullness of what he really wants to do. So for you, I mean, you did that. You really did. You kept your alignment with him as you let him be the source of your life. And I think that's why Gate and Sons, isn't that a cool name, everybody? Gate and Sons is doing so well. I mean, you guys are so busy and your reviews are great. And people are, you know, every time you show me a picture, you got cars on the lifts. And I mean, in Sunrise, Indiana, you know, German auto repair there. I mean, that's pretty awesome. And yeah. You're doing really well.
Yeah, it was started out slow. But, you know, the Lord prophetically spoke to me about opening up a shop, and it was coming to the end of, or what I like to call a turn down from my corporate. And I knew in the spirit that there was going to be a time where I would basically transition out. I just didn't know when or where. And he prophetically spoke to me what the building looked like. Not so much the location physically, but what the building looked like, what it would have attached to it. And when I ran into it, I was absolutely mad. Like, if you could vision a cartoon character dropping his jaw to the floor, that's exactly what happened. Because he nailed it 100%, and I knew from that point on that he was in it, because he showed it to me, he spoke it to me. Sometimes you have to also understand prophetic words don't come to pass quickly, and you have to sit on them, and you have to wait for them to come to pass. But you also have to be a steward of them.
That's so good.
You cannot just pick up a prophetic word or get a prophetic word and just say okay and not be a steward of it. You have to ask God to direct you in it, and that He makes the steps possible that you step into as you both walk forward in it.
So good.
So if I could honestly challenge you in that, if you do have a prophetic word that you have had years ago, pull it back off the shelf, open up the box, pull it back out, and ask Holy Spirit to partner with you in it.
Yeah.
You know, that is paramount in a prophetic word. I think that's proper process. in a prophetic word as well.
Yeah, and you know, that's, it's a great way to honor the prophetic.
Yes.
And so, you know, I always brag about, I probably shouldn't, but I always brag about my library, because I have a library with all my prophetic words based on keywords or who spoke the word, when I received the word, yeah, what was going on in my life at the time. So I can quickly access the prophetic words that, you know, that are spoken over me. You know, part of my call is to help prophets emerge, help them through identity crisis. And I work with a company, as you know, and I can tell you there's nothing like it. And so one of the things I love watching about you as you engage as a prophet in the marketplace, you'll tell me, hey, you know, I really feel the Lord said this morning that, you know, he's going to slow the business down a little bit, but it's going to be all right. It's just going to slow it down a little bit because he needs me to make some more time for him in this particular season.
Yeah.
That's how a prophet, I think, leads a business in the marketplace. It's like the voice of the Lord being the primary, you know, directive.
Yeah. You know, and yeah, absolutely. And I think too, you know, with that, when I got that word just recently, that Dr. Joshua just shared, you know, the enemy likes to come in, and I'm saying this because I want you to understand that the enemy sometimes is sneaky, and he can't come in and disguise himself as an angel of light. The Bible says that. But that I'm solid in knowing that everything's going to be taken care of. I'll have the means and probably some reserve to put away or to put back into the kingdom. Because I love blessing kingdom ministries that are moving in such a way that it honors God.
Yeah.
Those ministries are starting to I don't want to say crop up, it's not the right word, but they're starting to come to the forefront. And you know, as believers, you know, our money is not our own, it's the Lord's, and he just blesses us with it, but we also have a responsibility to use it wisely.
Mm-hmm.
And use it for, you know, yes, paying your bills and paying, you know, your car note, or if you have one, or, you know, for food, but also putting it back into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's imperative, and I think the ecclesia needs to start rethinking that.
It's really good. When I got by the Spirit, we were going to talk about shifting sources. You got a verse. When I come back, I want to share that verse, and you share your heart on it. And then I got some thoughts as we kind of do our last segment together. It's been really good, Will. I really appreciate it. We'll be right back here. It's going to be strong. Make sure you listen to our next one. Here with William Gatiss, there's a passage when I said, you know, shifting sources, and immediately we both knew, so cool to work with a prophet. What is the verse that the Lord gave you?
Yeah, it was Matthew 23, and I know a lot of people in the corporate world, you know, no matter if it's corporate or you're in the marketplace, are facing circumstances in regards to having to take a shot right now, or the COVID shot.
The jab, huh?
Yeah, or you lose your employment. First, I want to speak a word of encouragement to you. If you feel that it goes against everything that you agree with in regards to what God is doing, and it speaks against everything that you hold as a value to yourself in the kingdom, don't do it. Now, I know that's very difficult to say because your job's on the line, your source of income is on the line. But if you truly feel that the Lord is speaking to you, saying, don't do it, don't do it. Don't do it. He is your provider.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Dr. Joshua brought that up, the Lord spoke Matthew 23 to me, starting in the first verse. And I want to read this to you. So it says, then Jesus said to the multitudes and to his disciples, the scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat of authority. So observe and practice all they tell you to tell you, but do not do what they do. For they preach, but do not practice.
Mm-hmm.
They tie up heavy loads, hard to bear, and place them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not lift a finger to bear them. I find that fitting because they are tying a heavy burden on your shoulder and they could care less if you get fired. Well, I care because you're a brother or a sister to me, and I will be definitely bringing this in prayer to the Lord. But if you have a strong conviction, don't do it. And if you get let go and it's your career field, trust me, God will provide for you. You know, you have to trust the source.
Yeah.
You have to trust the source and don't let go of it. He will provide for you. He's always his. That's his promise. As if you walk in the precepts and you walk in the ways of he's asked you to walk, he'll provide for you.
Yeah. I love what you said there out of that passage too. It says they strap upon you heavy burdens, you know, and you know, I know what it's like. I remember in my early marriage, where early on when, you know, we were in a very difficult financial situation, and I remember the feeling like I was unable to provide for my family. It was, everything was a miracle. I mean, place to live was a miracle. Food in the pantry was a miracle. It was all a miracle. Matter of fact, sometimes I just stop on the middle of the road and lift my hands up and thank God. I'm like, you know, you've done so well to bring me out of that and to bring me where I am now, which is just the beginning where I'm going, right?
Yep.
You too. But the reality is we can take the burden of something, and it's almost like taking responsibility for something that's not ours. You know, consider the lilies. They don't toil or spin. But the reality is that's not my burden. I'm not my own provider. I need to be reliant upon his provision, who he is, and I need to let him be the source of that. And so I like that because it said these guys, they don't practice what they preach. Yep. And then they put upon you burdens that you can never live out, that you feel guilty of, and then they'll use to discredit you when they don't do it themselves. And I mean, isn't that what we see all over the place in the government, much in churches across the United States of America, for sure, putting burdens that people, they don't carry themselves. And I feel like the reality is that if you carry a burden, and again, I talk about this in war, my last war, on transitioning, you carry a burden that's not yours to carry and you do not cast it upon the Lord, then you are going to position yourself to be outside of that.
Yeah.
And because you're making a decision, I'm going to keep this, even though it may keep me back. I'm going to hold on to it. So I really want to encourage everybody, and this wasn't the direction I wanted to necessarily go with this podcast, but I feel like the Lord on it, to make that correction, make that shift to who is your source.
Yeah.
And I've seen you do that, brother. It's powerful. And I know that as Gate and Sons increases, that there'll be even more opportunities to do what you're doing. So I don't want to get you out of here. I know you got a flight to catch. I don't want to get you out of here without talking about Narrowgate, because I feel like that was another step in your direction of your intercession. So now you've taken your same building that the Lord showed you, and now you guys are interceding there.
Yeah.
What do you see that? What's the purpose there? What do you see that doing?
you know, excuse me. Before I go into Narrowgate,
sure.
As we were talking, sorry, excuse me.
You're good.
I had a vision of a woman driving that will be listening to this podcast, and she will be facing this circumstance where it's either you take the shot or you lose your job.
Yeah.
Daughter, if I can encourage you, and you have been wrestling with this, the Lord is with you. You know what you need to do, and the provision will be there, so don't worry.
Yeah.
Don't worry. As far as Narrowgate, yeah, God had called me to start basically an intercession prayer group there, which we just started back on the 23rd of August. You know, being honest and transparent, I was expecting, you know, the building to shake and for the heavens to come down, but none of that took place, and both my wife and I both said the same thing at the same time the next morning, and it was hilarious because we just laughed it off. We laughed, but we didn't laugh it off. And within one of the things that grabbed my heart during the prayer time was human trafficking. The Lord, yeah. The Holy Spirit really spoke to me. So we were binding the evilness of it and asking for God's judgment and release. And then within 3 or 4 days, there was a multi-state arrest, and they found over just over the bridge in Kentucky. Just for context, I live in Indiana, within a tri-state area, so I cover Ohio and Kentucky within really a stone's throw from where I am. So just right over in Burlington, Kentucky, there was 21 women found that were part of a human trafficking ring.
Wow.
Yeah. And so,
praise God.
I was praising him, and I was giving him, you know, the honor and glory, because here I am expecting these things to happen, and God was faithful. And you know, within 3 days, this ring of human trafficking was caught and dismantled.
Wow, powerful.
Yeah. So
do it again, Lord, all over this nation. Do it again. Break up every one of them.
Yeah.
Bring them to justice. Let them not escape, and set every captive free in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. So I think God was just faithful to me because of once again me obeying, but then also the power of prayer. I think sometimes as the ecclesia, we sometimes limit or think that prayer is not that powerful. Let me tell you something different.
Mm-hmm.
I have watched numerous accounts, more than I have fingers and toes, where prayer works.
Yeah.
You know, you fill those intercession bowls in heaven, and they get so full, then they get poured out.
Wow, so powerful. I know that's true. You know, we're doing the regional prayer mountain here,
yeah,
on Wednesdays, and we've seen so much fruit from that. I know the kingdom ecclesia is meant to be in that position right now. And I actually had a pretty powerful vision of our governor, Ron DeSantis, who's kind of, you know, he's a Josiah almost leader. He is in a position to really change things, and he's doing it. And he's fighting back the forces that would limit our freedoms, and he's saying no to that.
Yeah.
And we've been praying for him. I had a vision of him with a mantle that became a cape.
Oh wow.
As the ecclesia was praying for him in Florida, and then as he did that, the cape came up over his head like an overshadowing, and all of the arrows that were coming from Washington just began to bounce off that cape and could not reach him. And so we have, as an ecclesia, we have a responsibility in the government to govern from a higher court, yeah, and to see it, you right, know, play out in front of us. So I'm so happy that you did that. Well, we could talk for hours, and we do.
I know. I know.
But this has been great. It's a get to know you. We're going to have to do it again. So whenever I'm up there with you or you're back down again, I'll have my technology worked out better. We're sitting at my kitchen table right now. But you've been so meek to be with us. It's been great having you, and I really want to have you again. So we'll be watching you, Gate and Sons and Narrow Gate. And again, this is William Gatiss, a real prophet of God that is a gift to the body. And William, thank you so much, man. It's been awesome.
Thank you for having me.
It's been great. Well, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. If you just kind of keep with us, the next segment, I'm just going to share some concluding thoughts. And here on Statured Sons, you just heard one. And Daring Daughters.